Father, we want to lift this time up to you as we open your word. And Lord, you know the events of this week, the tragedy of the shooting in Connecticut, and how many people's lives have been just turned upside down through that, and how many people are asking questions and discouraged or fearful or wondering what is going on. Lord, we pray for your comfort for those who are grieving, and we pray for your ministry to those who are doubting. And we pray, Lord, that you would bring good out of this tragedy. Lord, our eyes are on you, and we're so grateful that we know you and can look to you. Lord, please speak to your people this morning. We pray for the other churches in our area, Lord, that you would bless each one. That as they meet, Lord, you would meet with them, you'd encourage them, strengthen them, that your word would go forth with power. And Lord, that's our prayer for ourselves this morning, that your word would speak powerfully to us in our times of need, in the areas of need in our own hearts, Lord, as well as to us as a congregation, and Lord, to our nation, we pray you would speak loudly and clearly to draw us back to you. May you be glorified in our midst this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If you turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. You know, there are times when I think it's only right and appropriate to ask God why. We're told that we shouldn't do that, that we shouldn't question God, and there's an element of truth to that. We shouldn't question his goodness. We shouldn't question his character. And yet, I think there are times when we should ask God why things happen the way that they're happening. There are times when things happen in our lives, or as in the life of our nation this week, where we can only recoil from what we see when we see the horror of the things that happen in this world. And we should turn away our heads from the things that we're seeing, bow our heads, weep and pray for God's mercy on this land, on these people. I think it's only right when we see evil unfolding, to be appalled at it, and to be appalled at how much evil there can be in this world. And when we who know that there is a God recognize that he is a sovereign God, we have to wonder sometimes, why are these things happening? Why, God, would you allow 20 first graders to be shot dead in their classroom? You know, we wonder, why, God, wouldn't you stop this killer before he got to the school? Why wouldn't you stop him before he shot his mother? Why wouldn't you stop him before he even began to carry out this scheme? And I don't think there's anything wrong with asking God that if we're open to hearing from him what he wants to say. The problem comes when we go to God and we put ourselves in the place of judge and demand that he measure up to our standards. And that's part of the risk of asking a question. We're prone to make mistakes when we consider why God does something. It's very common for people to conclude, after they see evil in the world, that God is not good. They think that how could a good God allow such evil to happen in the world? I have a friend who is a missionary in the Philippines, and he was very involved in the drug culture in his youth, very heavily involved in not only partaking but in selling and distributing. And as he went on down this path, he came to a point in time at which he realized he was face to face with evil, and he was being invited into deeper evil. He was being offered power And he recognized that the offer itself was coming from a position of evil. And his response was to run. He said, it was so evil, I just ran out of that building. And as I ran, I realized that if there is evil in the world, there must also be good. Because evil can't be seen as evil apart from good. And he said, and if there is good, then there must be God. And that man got saved that night and went on to become a missionary and a Bible translator. And we look at evil, and that should be part of our response. Is, yes, we see this evil, but it's only evil because there is good. And we see it as evil because we know the good. We know that there's good, and we know there is God. Other people see the evil, and they say, well, if there is God and he is good, why didn't he stop it? And they conclude, he couldn't. You know, maybe you've heard of books like Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. And if you dig into many of those kinds of books, they come to the conclusion that, well, if there is a God, he's just not powerful enough to stop the evil that's been unleashed in this world. And that's not right. I mean, think about our God. And think about the things that he's done. Think about the power that he's expressed, you know, giving sight to the blind, opening the mouths of the mute so they could speak, opening the ears of the deaf so that they could hear, healing those who are on beds of sickness, the paralyzed, enabling them to walk again. Think of what he did in the life of the nation of Israel, humbling the most powerful nation in the world at the time that Israel was in slavery in Egypt by sending the plagues upon them such that they rushed the people of Israel out of their land and then opening up the sea before them so they could go through on dry land, feeding them in the wilderness, bringing water out of the rock and food, manna out of the sky. Think about the power of our God. Think about his power. Defeating Israel's enemies by sending hailstones upon them, sending an angel against them, defeating a whole army of over 100,000 soldiers in one night with one angel. Think about the power of our God. And think about the power of our God to raise people even from the dead. This is not a weak God. I mean, we look at evil and we wonder, but despite what we see in this world, we have a God who is powerful and we have a God who is good. And we see his goodness. We see his compassion towards those who are hurting. We see his comfort toward those who are in need. We see his provision. We see his mercy. We see that he sent his son to bind up the broken hearts and set the captives free. And we have a God who can sympathize with our weaknesses. This is our God. So when we see the evil of something like this, how do we respond? And we need to face a couple of things. Without minimizing the evil that we've seen, we need to recognize that if God did stop it, this wouldn't be the same world, would it? Imagine if God stopped every evil act before it happened. What if before any hand was stretched out to do evil, God paralyzed it? Or every arm? Or every mouth that opened to speak evil, if God shut it? Or every mind that started to think an evil thought, if God shut it down? Or every heart that began to conceive an evil plan? This wouldn't be the same world, would it? I wouldn't be able to speak today. I wouldn't be able to move. We've all committed evil, haven't we? God would have shut us down long, long ago. It wouldn't be the same world, would it? God has allowed us this freedom. And when we look at the evil, we need to recognize that ultimately it comes not from God, but from Satan. In our passage, 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, says, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous," he here being Jesus, "just as Jesus is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning." The devil has sinned from the beginning. God gave not only mankind freedom, but he gave his angels freedom. And Satan rebelled against the authority of God, led other angels in following him into rebellion, and brought evil into this world. You can only have evil when there's freedom. When there's no freedom, you can't have evil, but you can't have good either. There's no freedom. God is big enough that he gave us freedom. But in that freedom, there's the freedom for evil. The ability to reject God and choose evil, that doesn't lessen God's goodness nor his power. Nor does it make him responsible for the evil. He's given us responsibility when he's given us freedom. When you step back from it and look at it, though, the very existence of evil is going to bring glory to God. That's a hard statement to swallow, isn't it? When we're so close to it, we're so close to the suffering that we've seen in this world, that we ourselves have experienced it, that that freedom is going to bring glory to God despite the evil. Do you see what this verse goes on to say? "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." You ever stop and think about Christmas? I mean, here we are, we're right before Christmas. It's the most horrible time of the year to go through a tragedy like this. But here we are, right before Christmas. And when we think about Christmas, what do we usually think about? You know, we think about the manger. We think about the baby Jesus. We think about motherhood and childhood. And we think about the angels and the stars and the animals. And we have this wonderful and this beautiful picture that we celebrate at Christmas time. There's so much more, isn't there? The Son of Man, the Son of God, was manifested. That means he was revealed. He appeared. He appeared. Where did he appear? He appeared in this world as a baby. Why did he appear? To destroy the works of the devil. Do you realize that we celebrate Christmas because God came in the flesh to destroy things? That's not the way we usually think about Christmas, is it? Jesus came for destruction of the works of the devil. When you think about the whole scope of the plan of God and you look back and how God led things up to the point of Christmas coming, you see the works of the devil involved, don't you? You see Satan trying to hinder God's plan all along. And you know what? One of the things we realize when we look at that with fresh eyes is that Satan hates children. Did you ever think about that? That he hates children. You see, children give us a picture of what the kingdom of heaven is like. Unless you enter the kingdom of heaven as a little child with that childlike faith, that childlike trust in God, you can't enter it at all. Satan hates that. You look back at the history. You look back at what was going on in the nation of Israel. Satan knew that God had promised a savior to the world through the nation of Israel. Who do you think was behind Pharaoh's evil plan to kill all the little boys of Israel? Satan was behind it. He tried to kill them all. And yet God prevailed and saved Moses alive so that he could lead his people out. Moses didn't turn out to be the real Messiah, though, did he? And so, again and again, you see Satan at work trying to destroy the nation of Israel and the line of the Messiah, sending Saul after David, trying to kill David in the wilderness, more than one time, trying to kill him in the throne room, trying to kill him in the wilderness. Satan is a murderer. Jesus said he's a murderer, and he has been from the beginning. He's trying to kill. We see that all the way up to the time of the Christmas story. I mean, we see it in Haman trying to wipe out the Jews in captivity. We see it again and again where the line of the Messiah is attacked. And then in Bethlehem, when King Herod finds out from the wise men that the Messiah has been born, what's his response? Sends his soldiers down there. Kill all those little boys. Kill them all. That's from Satan, isn't it? Do you see his heart revealed? Do you see where the evil in this world comes from? He's a murderer, and he has been from the beginning. And he hates children. And so, as much as it shocks us and surprises us to see an attack like this carried out, it really shouldn't. You know, we see them all over the world. We see this kind of thing going on all over the world. We're insulated from it in our society. But think about what goes on in the lives of children around the world. How many of them are beaten mercilessly. How many of them are made to fight in the army. And we read stories about some of the brutality in Africa where children were forced to kill their own parents. Is that evil? Of course, that's evil. Satan's behind that. And we see them not just doing things forced into slavery, forced into worse than just work. Satan is a destroyer. He's trying to kill. He's trying to steal. He's trying to destroy. It only surprises us because God has spared us from so much in this land. But when something like this happens, it should draw us back, and it should remind us that our mercy comes from God. Our protection is in Him alone, and this world is full of evil until God makes an end of it. But that end is coming. That end is coming. I don't know if you read, but a lot of the people in Connecticut are taking down their Christmas decorations. They're thinking, how can we celebrate a holiday like Christmas, celebrating peace on earth when there is no peace? Celebrating, being joyful when our joy has been stolen away. And yet, you know, this is the time when the message of Christmas is needed most. It's just that we have to get back to the real message of Christmas, don't we? We have to get away from just all the presents and the happy feelings and get back to what's Christmas all about. The Son of God was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. We know the works of the devil. It's not just murder, is it? It starts out with lying, temptation, trying to tempt people to evil and successfully tempting Adam and Eve and many, many people since to evil. We know that. We've all been tempted to do things that we know were wrong. We've given in. He's a liar. And again, Jesus said, He's a liar and the father of lies. Jesus came to destroy that. Jesus said, I came to bear witness to the truth. And Jesus is the truth. Satan comes to keep people away from God, and Jesus comes to show people the way to God. And He says, I am the way. I am the way. Satan comes to destroy life, and Jesus comes to give life. And He says, I am the life. I am the life. Jesus comes to destroy the works of the devil. Does that just make your heart rise up and think, wow, He's going to destroy all the works of the devil? all of them. All of them. Not just these huge, horrendous things that have happened in the world, but the works of the devil close to home in our own lives. Do you realize that before there was sin, there was no sickness? Before there was sin, there were no broken relationships. Before there was sin, there was no heartache. All those things are the work of the devil, and Jesus is going to destroy them all. All. It just hasn't happened yet. And so when we recognize that this is why Jesus came, and he's already accomplished the biggest victory, going to the cross to pay for our sins, taking death on himself so that he could, by death, destroy death. He took away the power of death. The sting is gone. It's gone. And death is no longer the same. It's not permanent. And Jesus showed us how death wasn't permanent by raising other people up. The little girl, the young man, his friend Lazarus. He raised them from the dead. And then by rising himself and ascending into heaven, he has conquered death. He has conquered death. When we see a tragedy like Connecticut, it's not the end of the story. We don't step back and say, God can't overcome this. He can. We don't say he's not powerful enough. He's not good enough. He is. He can. He will overcome. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And we see the beginning of that in his teaching, in his powerful, miracle-working life. We see it in his resurrection from the dead. We don't see the end yet. And so that makes us wonder, how long? See, our why should be turned to a how long? How long, O Lord, will this go on? Do you remember the cry of the people in the book of Revelation? How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? How long will evil continue? And the answer is, we don't know. We don't know yet. It may be a very short time, or maybe a long time. We don't know, but we're called to be ready for that day. You see, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, not just out in the world, but in us. In us. He came to speak the truth to us, to show us the way to live. He came to die, to rise again, to ascend into heaven so that he could send his Spirit to live in us. And it's through his life that the death that Satan brings is finally overcome. And as we receive that life, we see the life of Jesus destroying the works of Satan in ourselves. That's an amazing thing. That's why we really celebrate Christmas, isn't it? It's because there's newness of life in Jesus, not just the newness of this little baby, of God come in human flesh, and such a wonderful, amazing miracle of his life brought to the earth, but newness of spiritual life brought to us, each one of us, offered to us in Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Spirit coming and taking residence in us. And then what does God do? He says, I'm working to destroy evil in the world. I'm working to destroy the works of the devil. Do you want to be a part of that? He said, you're my body. I'm creating a new body in the church. You're going to be my hands and my feet in this world. I'm going to use you to destroy the works of the devil. He's called us to take that truth, that just amazing truth of what Jesus has done, and proclaim it to others. That's where our hope comes from. When we see a tragedy, we grieve, but we don't grieve like everyone else. We don't grieve as those who have no hope, because now we have hope. And we not only have hope that we're going to be resurrected and God's going to wipe away every tear from all our eyes, but we have a hope that we can take to others and we can share with them and we can say, look, this is evil. It's horrible. But God is still God. And God can raise up every last one of those little children who were shot. Every last one. God has that power. When Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery, God worked, didn't he? Joseph accepted that, and he served his master. And when further injustice came in his life and he was thrown in jail, he served the jailer. And he just trusted God and went about doing good. And what happened? He wound up interpreting dreams, and Pharaoh was told and had him brought before him, and he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, and he was made a ruler in Egypt. Why? When he told his brothers later, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, for the saving of many lives. God wants to save lives. God wants to destroy the work of Satan, who's destroying lives, and God wants to rescue them and heal them and restore them. And he rescues us and he heals us and he restores us so that we can go out and be his instruments to rescue and heal and restore others. We need to bring our questions to God, but we need to look to him and listen to him to answer those questions. And when you say, why God does this happen? And he says, it's because there's freedom. And you say, how long, O Lord? And he says, it's not much longer. And you say, how do we respond? And he says, let me destroy the works of the devil in your life and send you out as my instrument in others' lives. God wants to do a work in us. God wants to do a work through us. And a lot of it's going to come back to understanding what his work is all about. And Christmas is such a big part of that. It's such a miracle to see that God loved the world so much that he sent his only son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish. They may die. They may die tragically, but they should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants to call us as individuals and as a nation back to him, that we might live that everlasting life here and now, so that we can be a part of his work. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you so much that in the midst of tragedy, we can look to you. Lord, that you are so good and so great that you can take our questions, even when our hearts aren't right. But Lord, we ask that you would use our questions to draw us near to you, to make us more the people that you want us to be, that we might have your life not just set aside for eternity, but filling us here and now, the rest of our days, that we might be your instruments. Lord, no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what evil Satan brings against us, we want to cling to you. We want to believe in you. We want to trust in you. And we want to be your instruments, Lord. We want to go through these lives glorifying you, pointing people to you, because, Lord, there is comfort in no one else. You're the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Lord, use us to comfort others. Lord, use those who know you to comfort those who are grieving in Connecticut even now. And Lord, we know that a shooting like this opens wounds afresh in many hearts, even in our own town, in our own congregation. But we pray for your comfort, Lord, your strength to persevere through whatever evil we have to face in this life. Lord, may we go forth trusting in you, living the new life that you came to bring to us, and living it in a way that we can be a blessing to others. Lord, bring good from what Satan has meant for evil. Open blind eyes, Lord. Take away, destroy the lies, and bring in the light and the truth. Heal the brokenhearted, Lord. Take away the wounds and bring healing. Take away the death, Lord, and bring life. And may it bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.